Well, what is something that you would dearly love to tackle that you haven't had the time to do or maybe the opportunity?
Wow, what haven't I tackled yet? Well, there's a lot of things I haven't tackled yet. There's a lot more things I'd like to explore symphonically with voice and orchestra or with voice and chamber group. There's also, I have a whole list of stories that I want to explore on the stage and also start exploring, you know, pushing myself musically. And so I look for stories or ideas that terrify me a little bit because I need to know that I can do it. I have to believe that I can do it, and I have to feel music based on the story and the project. But I also want to feel that slight bit of terror about how am I going to do that? How am I going to get that on the page? How am I going to get that to work on its own terms, something creative and exciting and interesting? And so it's always looking for stories that challenge me that on that level, not only creatively, musically, but also on a personal level. Maybe there's something in there that I want to confront that I haven't confronted before. I've got two operas after It's a Wonderful Life that I'm developing right now. And they're both, I think, fascinating stories that I yearn to tell, but I'm not sure how I will tell them.
You're in town, you're overseeing the Butler Opera's production of two of your operas, one of which is a world premiere in its form with orchestra. But you're also here to receive an award, the Eddie Meldora King Award. What does this mean to you to receive this?
You know, receiving an award, it's such a humbling and touching acknowledgement of the hard work and that it's actually reaching people. You know, a composer spends so much time alone. Most of my time I spend alone in my studio, listening to these voices in my head and trying to get them onto the page so that, you know, they can then move on to other people. It's all about vibrations, you know, my feeling of vibration, getting it onto the page, then sending it through performers to the audience and hoping that they catch that vibration too. And any kind of honor or award means that somehow I've done my work well and that it has resonated. And that is, first of all, it's a great validation for all the hard time and the many years of work, but it also is, I hope it's an encouragement actually to other composers that this kind of career, that this kind of work is possible and that you can create something in this day and age that resonates with audiences and reaches beyond maybe what you had ever thought possible. So it's very touching and humbling, and I'm very, very, very appreciative of being here and receiving the award. It's really wonderful.
When I first met you 13 years ago with your new opera, it was, you know, a year or two old by then, and it was already successful and kind of on your way up. You are just solidly in the middle of this amazing career. Does it make it easier, or do you feel like there are just more expectations?
Well, I'm aware that I'm a bigger target these days, you know, with especially Dead Man Walking, which has been all over the world, has had like 50 productions, and Moby Dick is moving all over, and all these other operas too. Three Decembers has been done quite a bit as well. So I never thought that that was possible. And B, it just means to me, I have to listen to the voices that I trust in and I believe. For example, this is a little bit controversial to say, but I don't read reviews. My other half reads them, and they're very important. They matter enormously. And it's the public's impression of your work. And that's very, very important. And so I think it's very important that I know the color of them, whether they were good or bad, or it's the specific language I can't get in my head, because then I'm aware of that when I'm writing. So what I want is to learn what I can from the reviews without actually having read them or the other pieces, and then go back to my room, my studio, and just write with even more confidence and authority based on the experiences that I've had, both good and bad. I mean, everyone has failures in their life. The most important thing is, are you going to learn something from it or are you not? And I've been very lucky to have a lot of successful work. And there are, you know, bodies along the roadside of any career, you know, that we learn from, you know. And so it's the most important thing is just to be true to the work, go back to my studio with fresh ears, fresh eyes, and an open heart, and go back to playtime in the studio. That's another thing that's really great about the work that I do, is when I go into that studio, it has to all be playtime. It has to all be fun. There's no bad idea. There's just ideas that are better than others, you know?
So you're telling me every time you walk in your studio door, you're in the mood to go in there every single time?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say sometimes I go into that studio. I'm always excited to go into the studio because I know something will happen. I don't dread it because I know how lucky I am. I know how fortunate and blessed I am to have this career, to be able to have a life in music and writing it and creating it, especially a life in the theater like this, collaborating with some of the greatest artists in the world and people eager for what's going to happen next. I mean, that's rare, and I really appreciate that. But so there is that great joy, and there is a slight bit of dread every now and then. Like I said, I do projects that terrify me. So I go in sometimes saying, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You know, I just have to trust that something's going to emerge, and so far it has.
You've mentioned young composers, the ones starting out today. Are there anyone, say, in their 20s or early 30s that you say, listen for that person?
You know, I've heard quite a few young ones, especially through, I was a mentor at the Washington National Opera. There's a program there called the American Opera Initiative, and I've heard any number of young composers come through there that I thought were really talented. And I know there's a lot of young programs for young composers at, like, in Fort Worth. Certainly Dallas is doing new pieces, San Francisco, Chicago, Cincinnati has programs where they're nurturing things. There's workshops in Boulder. These new, you know, training grounds for young composers. There's a prototype festival in New York where emerging talent comes through. So, you know, I hate to narrow it down to a couple of names just because I don't think it's fair. But I would say if you look at all those different festivals, you're going to see any number of exciting young voices coming through.
And last bit, what's the best advice you could give to a young person considering being a composer?
I think you know when you're a composer because you're compelled to write no matter what. No matter what your job is, no matter what stage of life you're in, you are just compelled to write. There's that burning fire within you. I do think there is a big difference between a theater composer and what I would call an abstract composer, someone who mostly writes symphonies or chamber music or solo music, who wants to be in complete control of absolutely everything. A theater composer is collaborative. They love a narrative. They love voices. They like collaboration. They like finding the work with other people. They're open to changes. They're open to other people's ideas. That's a very different kind of mindset. There are unusual composers throughout history who have done both things really well. But when you think about it, Brahms knew he was an abstract composer. He didn't write opera. Bach ultimately was very theatrical, but he was an abstract composer. He was not a theater composer. Very theatrical. Beethoven, very theatrical, but mostly an abstract composer. Mozart, primarily a theater composer who could do everything well. Janáček, I think a theater composer who could do everything well. Britten, a theater composer who could do everything well. Verdi, a theater composer. You know, Puccini, a theater composer. You don't necessarily want to hear symphonies or chamber or solo music by those people, and they knew that. So I think part of being growing into in this field is knowing what kind of composer you are, where you fit. And that's part of the advice I give to young composers is try everything and then learn to identify your voice so that you can do what you're really good at and focus on it. You know, it's like singers need to learn what rep they are right for and then really focus on that and say, you know, these are the kinds of things I'm really good for. Yeah, you want to stretch yourself every now and then, but you also need to know what you're really right for. Same with actors, same with instrumentalists. You know, not everyone is good at everything. And so I say with composers, try everything. Learn what you're really good at and what you're drawn to, and then really explore that to the ultimate degree and be very prolific. You only learn as a composer by writing, hearing your work done very well, learning from it, and then moving on to the next piece. And you have to blaze your own trail. There's no one way to become a full-time composer if that's really what you want. And there's many different fields. There's movie music, there's theater music, there's church music, there's jazz, there's pop, there's all kinds of stuff. There's many different careers in music, and there's the academy too. So, you know, but you have to find that on your own, and it's by finding your voice, exploring, and then staying true to your authentic voice.
Jake Hege, great advice, and I want to thank you for taking time today to talk to us on Classical Austin. Thank you.
Great to be with you again.
And listeners, if you're listening on the Sunday edition of Classical Austin, you can go to the theater today at 4 p.m. and that will be at McCullough Theater. Two operas by my guest Jake Hege, Three Decembers and At the Statue of Venus. And that one will be a world premiere of the orchestrated version for orchestra and one voice. And if you cannot make it this weekend, March 4th and 6th, there will be performances as well.